So we're going to continue the series this morning. Now, last week, we taught on prayer, and what we talked about is how prayer is not so much asking God to do things that he's reluctant to do, as it is partnering with God to do the things that he already wants to do in this world. Prayer is partnering with God's will. It's coming into agreement with God for the things that he wants to do in this world. And our text for the series, kind of our foundational text, comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 from the NIV. Let me read this to you. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So what the scripture is saying, what the Apostle John is telling us, is we can approach God with confidence. This series is all about praying to God with confidence, knowing that God hears us, believing that God is going to honor our requests and that our prayers are going to be effective. And here's the key John's giving us. The key is to pray according to God's will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So prayer is all about agreeing with God's will to be done in our lives. That is the key to praying with confidence, to praying effectively. Now, in last week's message, I taught about some foundational principles on prayer. And if you missed that, you can go online to redemptioncommunitychurch.org, go to our messages, and you can listen to the message. But this week, I want to give you some tools. I want to give you some principles to really add some content and some purpose and really help you kind of flesh out your prayer life. So when you came in today, you should have got a little note sheet where you can take some notes today, and I want to invite you to do that. Now, most of us, when we were kids, we learned some memorized prayers. Did you learn any simple kind of memorized children's prayers when you were a kid? When I was a kid, I remember sitting around at the dinner table, and we learned to pray grace at the table. And my parents would teach us to pray, "God is good, God is great, and we thank him for this food in Jesus' name. Amen." What a profound prayer, right? But these are the kind of prayers we learned to pray when we were kids. Did you learn prayers like that? Maybe you learned to pray at bedtime, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Anybody pray that prayer? I got to thinking about that. I was like, what a morbid prayer. Like, who came up with this prayer, right? Like, parents are like, "Now listen, kids, we're going to tuck you in bed, and we want to make sure you're prepared in case you die in your sleep tonight. So pray this prayer with me." That's a good way to really threaten and scare your kids, right? Put the fear of God in them. You know, you could die in your sleep tonight, so let's make sure you get right with Jesus. But those are the prayers we pray when we're kids, right? Maybe you learned to pray the Lord's Prayer. Maybe if you're a Catholic, you learned to pray the Hail Mary. And maybe if there wasn't much prayer in your house, you at least prayed when your football team needed a miracle at the end of the game, right? Your family started praying. But all of us probably started somewhere. We have some familiarity with prayer. But, you know, as we grow up, as we become adults, we begin to realize that there's more to prayer than those prayers, right? Those are foundational things, but we realize that those kind of prayers really don't carry us in life. And many of us probably have heard of someone or know someone who was a great person of prayer. Do you know anybody like that? Maybe you had a grandparent who was a praying grandparent. My grandmother was a woman of prayer. Maybe you knew a pastor or a priest or a minister in your family who was a great person of prayer, and you really admired them, and you kind of felt like, "I could really never be like that." Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever endeavored to pray, and like you made a list and everything, and you're like, "Okay, I'm going to try this prayer thing," and like 1 or 2 minutes into it, you ran out of stuff to say, and you just didn't know how to keep going? I see a lot of heads nodded. I appreciate the honesty. I think many of us have been there before, you know, like we started praying like, "Okay, Lord, bless my family, bless my kids, help me to be a better spouse, a better parent, and Lord, I pray for world peace, and let the Mets win the World Series next year. Bring them back. Give them another chance." You know, yeah, some of you are excited about that. And so it's like, okay, that's it, right? "In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit," and I'm done. You don't know what else to say. And so what I want to talk to you about today is how do we pray? And what, you know, what do we say? And how do we bring content to our prayers? And how do we extend that time? I think most of us have this sense that, you know I need this daily time with God in my life, right? Like, I need to know that God is there. I know I need this daily connection with God. I need to know his peace. I need to know his presence. I need to know that he's with me. But I just don't quite know where to start. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And here's the main point for today. It's this: nothing will impact your life like developing a daily habit of prayer. Nothing. I'm thankful for exercise. I'm thankful for rest. I'm thankful for eating healthy. I'm thankful for all of your other New Year's resolutions, the things that you are, you know, you're resolute to do this year so that you can be happier and healthier. Those things are wonderful, but I'm telling you, nothing will impact your spiritual life. Nothing will impact your relationship with God. If you would say, Pastor Jeremy, I want to be closer to God. Pastor Jeremy, I want faith to be more central to my life. Pastor Jeremy, I want God's blessing on my life. I'm telling you, there is nothing that will bring you closer to God. There is nothing that will accelerate your spiritual growth than you developing the habit of daily prayer. And so I want to help you today. I don't want you to be frustrated. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. I know we have people here from all different spiritual journeys. We have some people who would consider themselves a fully committed follower of Christ. We have some people who are just kind of checking out church or maybe coming back to church for the first time in a while, or maybe you're a new Christian and prayer seems like overwhelming for you. You really don't know how to get in the groove or the habit. You've never really learned that. We're going to give you some principles throughout this series, especially this week and next week, to help you in your prayer life to develop this daily habit of prayer. Because see, when you pray, you impact your soul. Prayer impacts your soul. When you pray, you begin to live out of the core of the life that God has placed inside of you. Prayer will transform your life. Prayer will transform your world. See, what happens is when you begin to pray, you begin to get new perspective. You begin to get healthy, godly perspective. You begin to see God's purpose in your life. You begin to see things differently, and God just begins to speak to you. Prayer will begin to lighten your stress. Anybody in here ever feel stressed out? You feel anxious, overwhelmed? And the truth is, so many people in life are carrying around stress and they're bearing burdens that they were never meant to carry by themselves in life. And so God wants us to turn to Him as a Heavenly Father, like we talked about before, we sang about before, and bring our needs to Him. And so what happens is when you begin to pray, you begin to get a sense of relief and a sense of peace that God is lightening these burdens that you have. Prayer will clear your conscience. Prayer will give you a release from a sense of guilt, from a sense of condemnation. You know, all of us mess up. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all fall short. And what happens is when we pray, we begin to feel a sense of God's forgiveness and a sense of relief, and those feelings don't dominate us anymore. Prayer releases the power of God in your life over your circumstances. When you develop a habit of prayer, you begin to sense God's presence in your life. You begin to sense that God is working in your life. You begin to sense that you have this real relationship with a real God. So prayer is wonderful. You know, prayer will even make you a better spouse, a better parent. Come on, some of you know, like, there's some room for some improvement in that area. I'm telling you, my family likes me better when I pray. They do. Because there are some times that I just got to get away and pray. Listen, I've got three rowdy boys at home. I love my boys. But sometimes I want to kill my boys. And that is not an option. And so sometimes, man, I just got to get away and get right with Jesus, because I can just be nasty sometimes. I know you're more spiritual than me, but I need to get away and pray sometimes. And my family actually likes me a lot better when I do. And so I'm telling you, you will see an improvement in your family, in your life at home. If you're married, in your marriage, prayer is just a wonderful thing. And it's just so important for us as Christians, as disciples of Christ. And if you're just kind of checking out church and you're kind of putting your foot in the water, I want to tell you, you know, try prayer, because nothing will grow you spiritually like developing a healthy and daily habit of prayer. Now, if I were to ask you, how do you feel about your prayer life? I would imagine that probably less than 5% of you in here would say, my prayer life is flawless. Like, it's wonderful, man. Like, I couldn't be more happy. Like, you know, people tell me, you pray so much, you ought to stop praying. Like, your prayers get answered so much, like, just quit, right? Like, I think most of us would say, no, I'd like to be more consistent. I'd like to be more effective. I'd like to spend more time in prayer. I'd like for it to feel like something that's just wonderful and brings me closer to God. And so here's what we're going to do. We're all in this together, okay? We're going to tackle the question of how do I pray more effectively? And I want you to know this message is for everybody in here. This message, maybe you're somebody who's developed the habit of prayer. I believe some of the principles we're going to teach in the next 2 weeks are just going to reinforce and encourage you and help you to have a more robust prayer life. Maybe you're new to of faith or maybe kind of coming back to the church or you're a new Christian, I really believe that this is going to help lay down the foundation for prayer in your life. And I want to tell you this, if you're a young person, a college student or a teenager in this place, if you can get a hold of some of these principles and begin to develop a prayer life as a young person, it will change the trajectory of your life. It will change your life. Develop these habits now, and your walk with God will just completely change, and you'll just have a sense of God's purpose, and just develop it now if you're a young person, and you will see blessings. It will pay dividends for years to come. And so we're going to tackle this question of how do we pray more effectively. You guys ready? Are you with me this morning? And so, you know, here's the thing. The disciples wanted to know the same thing. You see, we're here this morning, we're saying, okay, we're after this question of, God, how do we pray more effectively? How do we become more effective in our prayer lives, more confident? The disciples wanted to know the same thing. They had been watching Jesus, and they had the same question. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. So the disciples had been watching Jesus, and they had witnessed that Jesus was powerful in prayer, and Jesus was healing people, and Jesus was preaching with authority, and Jesus had this close relationship with the Father. And the disciples were kind of comparing themselves, and they were like, you know, we don't feel close to God that way. Like, we don't see God answer our prayers. Jesus, you know, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them a pattern. He gives them some principles about how to be effective in prayer. And those principles are found in the most famous prayer in all of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer. If there's any prayer that people know, even if they haven't been in church in years, don't really have an effective prayer life, most people are at least familiar with the Lord's Prayer. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at six elements of effective prayer based on this pattern, these principles that Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to cover three this week and three next week. So I want you to be here, especially over the next 2 weeks, as we break down these principles for effective prayer. And here's the challenge, okay, since we're all in this together and we have this focus on 31 days of prayer this month to start off the new year. I want to challenge you over the next 7 days, over the next week, here's your homework assignment for the week, okay? It's to spend at least 15 to 20 minutes in prayer per day. Now that may seem like a mountain for most of you. That may seem like, you know, wow, I'm going from hardly ever praying to that amount. But here's what I believe. If you will spend 3 to 5 minutes praying through the principles and the pattern that we're going to teach over the next few weeks, you'll be able to develop this habit. I'm going to give you three this week. And if you can just pray through these principles 3 to 5 minutes, you'll begin to see your prayer life develop. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The disciples had come to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And so Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, which really should be called the disciples' prayer, because Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. This then is how you should pray, Jesus said. Let's read this together. The words are going to be on the screen. You ready? Read with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you know, when we hear the Lord's Prayer, we often think of praying that prayer word for word, right? Like it's a prayer that people quote and they recite over and over again. And listen, it's wonderful. You can pray it that way, and there's a lot of substance and meaning and some powerful things in praying the Lord's Prayer word for word. But here's what I believe Jesus was after when he gave the disciples this prayer. He was teaching them some principles. He was saying, look, let me show you a pattern for effective prayer, some principles for effective prayer. And so we're going to dive into those. So here's the first principle Jesus was showing them. The first principle is the prayer opens with worship. In worship, I focus on who he is, on who God is. You see, worship is an exercise in value and perspective. When we worship something, we attribute value to it, and it changes our perspective. So when we worship, we attribute value to who God is. God, you're the most important thing in my life. God, you're sovereign. God, you're good. Lord, there is nobody else like you. Like we quoted from the Psalms today, God, you're good and your mercy endures forever. We're attributing value to God, to who he is. And it sets our perspective for who God is as well. And so Jesus gives us three things to focus on here: relationships, right, and recognition. Here's the relationship. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father." Everybody say, "Our Father." Our Father. He opens the prayer with "Our Father." Now, this was a revolutionary thing for its time. Jesus came to reveal to us God as our Heavenly Father. People weren't talking about God in those terms during Jesus' day. This was a revolutionary idea. And Jesus was saying, this is the kind of relationship you can have with God. This is how you can approach God. You can approach God as a loving Heavenly Father. You can have that level of intimacy with God. That's how close he can be to you. Now, some of you, that may be difficult because maybe you didn't have a close relationship with your father. But I want to tell you, God is the father you always wish you had, that you long for in your heart. And that's how Jesus came to reveal our Heavenly Father. So we pray with this relationship. And then we focus on the rights, on who God is. Our Father in heaven. In other words, we're saying, God, you rule from heaven. This is acknowledging God's sovereignty. This is acknowledging God's rule and God's reign over the earth. This is saying, God, you're in control. God, you're sovereign. God, you're in heaven and you rule and you reign. And God, you're above my circumstances. You're above the situation. God, I thank you that you're a God who's with me in it. But God, you're not rattled by the things that rattle me. You're not shaken by the things that are shaking my life. God, you're sovereign and you're in charge and you rule and you reign. And so God, I know you've got this. God, I know you've got this, and there's nothing you can't do. That's how we go to God in prayer. And then we acknowledge God, we give him recognition. Let me just say something this about, you know, where God is. I heard a story one time about a kid named Johnny, and little Johnny was always getting in trouble at school. He was always messing up, always getting in trouble with the teachers, and his parents were pretty concerned, and they were pretty devout Catholics, so they decided they were going to send little Johnny to see the local parish priest. So they sent little Johnny to see the priest, and the priest was thinking about, okay, let me start with the basics with this kid, right? The Our Father. Let's quiz him a little bit here. And he said, "Johnny, tell me, where is God?" And Johnny didn't answer. He didn't say anything. The priest got a little bit frustrated. He leaned forward and he kind of put his hand on the desk and said, "Johnny, tell me, where is God?" Little Johnny really started to get nervous at this point. He started squirming. He didn't say anything. And the third time, the priest said, "Johnny, tell me, where is God?" Very frustrated. At that point, little Johnny leapt up out of his seat and he ran all the way home. He came bursting in the door, and his father got up and he said, What happened? What's the matter? How did it go with the priest?" He said, "Dad, they've lost God down at the church, and now they're trying to blame me for that too." You see, you got to know where God is. When you approach God in prayer, you've got to know that God is in heaven, that he's sovereign, that he's in charge, and he's got this. And then there's this recognition: God, hallowed be your name. The focus on God's name. You know, in the ancient culture, your name represented your character. It represented the essence of who you were. Names had meaning. They were very important. People didn't give out names frivolously. And we know that the Jewish people honored the name of God. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And so this is where we say, God, we know who you are. We know your character. It's like before how we worship. God, we know you're good. God, we know you're sovereign. God, we know that you're loving. God, we know that you're merciful. God, we know that you're omnipotent. You're all-knowing. God, we know that you're faithful. We go to God knowing who he is, and we honor his name. And so when you worship, you bring the recognition of God's character and his authority. And what happens is, as you worship, it begins to change your perspective. It begins to change your perspective for your life, for your situation, for your circumstances, for your needs. Let me put it to you this way. You know, sometimes in life, we begin to see as if we're looking through a microscope. What happens when you look through a microscope? A microscope magnifies things that are tiny, things that are small, right? When you look into a microscope, you can look at microscopic organisms that you could never see with the naked eye. And so a microscope takes these small things and it expands them and it makes them bigger. And sometimes that's how it is with our problems, with our life. You know, our problems, we're so focused on them. If I were to ask you right now, name three or four of your problems, you'd probably have no problem rattling off a list of your problems, because they're on our minds. They're in our face. They're the things that we worry about and we think about. And sometimes we get so focused on our problems that we begin to magnify them as if we're looking through a microscope. But then what happens when you look through a telescope? When you look at a telescope takes things that are far away, and it gets us gazing into the sky. It gets us looking at the stars and the planets and the heavens, and we begin to realize how big God is. Have you ever been somewhere, maybe out camping or out in the wilderness or in the country somewhere, and you got away from the New York City area where it was dark and you could see the lights, and you just felt overwhelmed at how just big the universe is, and you felt small? Have you ever been there before? You just felt tiny when you looked up at those stars. You know, that's what happens in prayer. Prayer helps us go from looking in a microscope to looking into a telescope. That's what prayer does. Prayer gets our eyes off of our problems that seem so big. And what happens is, as we begin to look to God, as we begin to worship Him in awe at how big He is, all of a sudden God becomes so big. All of a sudden we become so small, and our problems become so small. And what begins to arise in us is this sense that, God, You are so big, and You are so grand, and You are so all-powerful. And God, my problems are nothing for You. My problems are nothing for an all-powerful, creative God. That's what worship does in our lives. Worship changes our perspective, and it helps us to believe that God can meet our needs. It gets our eyes off of our problems, and it gets our eyes on God. Now listen, this is why this is so important, to begin your prayer time with worship. Because if you don't, what can happen is we can go to God so heavy with our burdens and our needs that all we wind up doing is worrying out loud to God. And sometimes we do that. We worry out loud to God, and we leave prayer with no sense of relief, right? It's almost like you just called your girlfriend and all you did was cry and whine on the phone or whoever, right? But listen, when we go to God and we worship first, we put things in their proper perspective, and it builds our faith. And when you read the Psalms, you see the psalmist wrestling with this. A lot of times you see the psalmist begins focused on his problems. You know, God, there are evil men all around me. God, where are You? You ever read that in the Psalms? And then the psalmist begins to wrestle with, but God, I know You're faithful. But God, I know You're sovereign. Yet will I trust You. My world is falling apart. People are trying to hunt me down. I'm in need, but God, You are faithful. And then the perspective begins to shift, and you can see the psalmist is won over to God's sovereignty, and worship shifts and changes the perspective. That's what happens when we worship first. Is this helping you this morning? I hope it is. Here's the second principle. The first one is worship. The second one is agreement. In agreement, I declare the promises of God's will. I declare the promises of His will. Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, right? God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for God's kingdom to come. We ask for God's rule and His reign to come into our lives. Now, you know, the word kingdom doesn't have so much of a strong meaning for us in our culture. We're modern day Americans. We live in a democracy. We're American people. We've never had a king before. But you know, in Jesus's time, this word carried a lot of weight. Jesus and His disciples were subjects of the Roman Empire, right? They lived in an empire. They had an emperor. They had a Caesar. They had a king. So this idea of kingdom was very, very fresh for them. And you know that when the Romans conquered a territory, or they went to go colonize a territory and build a new city, do you know what they would do in that city? They would build a coliseum, and they would build bathhouses, and they would build grand avenues, and they would build amphitheaters so that it felt like Rome. That way, when Caesar came to visit that territory and he came to visit that city, he would feel like he was at home because it felt like Rome. And see, the Romans understood something very important. They understood that it was their mission to export the culture of Rome to all of the territories and every place that they went to spread Roman rule. Do you understand that when we pray, when we say those words, Your kingdom come, we are saying to God, God, have Your way. God, may Your kingdom, may Your rule and Your reign, God, may it come to this earth as it is in heaven. We look around and we see things that are not as they should be. We see brokenness. We see lack. We see people who are sick. We see people who are hurting. We turn on the news and there's terrible things happening. And we look around at this world and we say, God, I know there's peace in heaven. God, I know there's order in heaven. God, I know there's perfection in heaven. God, I know that in heaven You rule and You reign, and none of these things are like they are there. So God, we're asking You to bring heaven to earth. God, we're asking for Your peace, for Your order, for Your wholeness, for Your blessing to come here on earth as it is in heaven. That's a powerful thing. And then we pray, God, Your will be done. Your will be done on this earth. We come into agreement with God's will. It's what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. To pray effectively is to pray for the things that God wants to see come to pass. Happen. That's what prayer really is. It's not trying to move God's hand to do something He's reluctant to do. It's finding out what is God's will and coming into agreement for God's will to unfold in our lives. And you say, well, how do I know God's will? You begin to read God's word. as you get into God's word, you find the will of God. The will of God is contained in the word of God. So we find the promises of God. We hold on to those promises and we begin to pray them. And we know that God, in the scripture, we see that God is a God of salvation. And so if we're praying for our family, for a family member who's broken, who's lost, for somebody who's far away from God, God, we pray that your salvation would come to them. And we see that God, you're a God of healing. And so if there's someone who's sick that we're concerned about, a family member or a loved one, God, we say, Lord, we hold on to the promise of scripture. We pray for healing and we pray for provision. See, we find these promises in God's word and we begin to come into agreement with the will of God, and we say, God, your will be done. I know there's some of you in here today, you need to know God's will. How many of you are facing a big decision in life? Maybe you have some decisions about your career, about your education, about a relationship, about the direction of your life, and you say, Pastor Jeremy, I need to hear God's voice. Like, I have some decisions to make in life. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you to get into the Word of God. If you don't know where to start, grab the book out in the foyer. It's got the Word of God in it. And begin to seek God for His will. Begin to get into His Word, and it will begin to guide you. It will begin to guide your life, and you will come into agreement with that. And so I want to encourage you, as you find scriptures that speak to your situation, as you find scriptures that just encourage you, write those scriptures down. Write those scriptures down and let those scriptures become material for you to pray back to God. That's really the basis of the Praying with Confidence 31-day devotional. It's praying the scriptures back to God. Start in the Psalms. The Psalms are simply a prayer book. The psalmist is crying out to God. And I promise you, a lot of those prayers will resonate with your situation. When you have a need that's so heavy in your heart that you're saying, God, I just need you to show up in my life. I need to know you're there. You will find that the psalmist was crying out the same way. You can identify. The psalmist didn't have it all together. Sometimes they're all over the place. God, I need you to show up in my life. And a lot of times we feel the same way. And so begin to write those scriptures down. And so I want to make this practical for you, okay? If you will begin your prayer time with worship, some of you like, you know, Christian worship, put something on in your headphones or on the Christian radio or whatever, and you can worship to it. You can begin your prayer time that way. You've been worshiping God, and then take some of those scriptures, some of those promises, and begin to pray those things. And then ask for God's kingdom to come. You know, I pray like this. I say, God, may your kingdom come in my life. God, may your kingdom come in my home. God, may your kingdom come in my marriage. God, may your kingdom come in my community. May your kingdom come in Westchester and in Portchester and in Greenwich and in Rye and in Harrison and Mamaroneck. We can pray that way. Pray for God's will to come. And then I pray for his will. God, have your way in my life. God, may your will be done in my life. And so all of those decisions that you're facing, all that stuff that's happening, everything that's happening at work and in your life, you can begin to pray for God's will to come into your life. So just make it very, very practical. And here's the third thing. So we start with worship, then we come into agreement, and then we come to thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. In thanksgiving, I remember what God has done. This is where we revisit the past. And we begin to recount God's faithfulness. We remember answers to prayer. We remember blessings. We remember the times that God came through for us. And so this is where Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Now that's about making requests as well. And we're gonna visit that idea next week. But here's the thing. When I think about daily bread, I'm reminded about my dependence upon God. I'm reminded that I need to give thanks for God's bread today and for his provision the day before that and the day before that, right? That idea of daily bread, Jesus just communicated something so powerful there, and that's about dependence. That's about dependence on God. And so we begin to thank God for his daily provision in our lives. We begin to recount his faithfulness. See, during this Thanksgiving step, this is where we remember all that God has done for us. And let me say this to you. You will either be miserable in life or you will be joyful in life to the degree that you are thankful. Come on, how many of you know that's true? You will either be miserable or you'll be joyful in life to the degree that you are thankful. See, worship changes your perspective. Thanksgiving changes your attitude. It's so easy to be a complainer, isn't it? Come on, it's just so easy to look around at the things that frustrate us in life. We don't have any problem coming up with a list of things to complain about. We are naturally complainers. But what we need to do is we need to get in prayer and we need to begin to thank God for the blessings in our lives. And I'll tell you this, many of the things that we complain about are the greatest blessings in our lives. A lot of the things, if you think about it, your spouse, your kids, your job, all of these things that God has given us, a lot of times we complain about the greatest blessings in our life. And so what happens is as we begin to thank God for his blessings, it begins to shift our perspective and our thinking. A lot of times I begin my prayer, I just start rattling through a list of things I'm thankful for. And see, I've had the privilege to travel some, to go overseas, to visit some third world nations. And so it's given me a little perspective. Do you know there's some days that I start my prayers off like this? God, I thank you that I slept in a warm bed last night. God, I thank you for a roof over my head. God, I thank you for clean, warm water. Man, I love a warm shower in the morning. Come on, somebody, give me an amen. And so sometimes I just think, God, thank you. Thank you for those things. Thank you for all of these little things that I take for granted every day. God, thank you for my wife. God, thank you for my beautiful kids. Thank you for my third child, Nicholas, who kept me up half the night last night. God, I thank you that he's going to grow up to be a great man of God. Bless him, Lord, but help him to sleep, please, just a little bit, Jesus. I'm too young to die from lack of sleep. Come on, Lord, help me. But when you begin thanking God, man, it just changes your perspective. It changes things. And so I want to encourage you to begin to thank God on a regular basis. You will become a person of gratitude. Not only will you practice gratitude, but you'll become a person of gratitude. How many of you want to be more grateful? How many of you want to be more thankful? How many of you want to be less cranky? Some of you are nudging the person next to you like, come on, Pastor Jimmy, pray for them. And so gratitude is the secret weapon, and it's such an easy thing we can do in prayer. Here's another thing. If you like to journal, some of you like to journal, you can write down a list of things that you're thankful for. It's another wonderful way to just capture God's blessings. And sometimes we forget all that God's done for us. That's the thing. Sometimes we think, you know, are my prayers being answered at all? But you know, the problem is we forget how many times God does answer our prayers. We have a tendency to remember the things that God doesn't do for us. I don't know why human nature works that way. So many times we remember all of the things that God didn't do for us. God, the Mets were supposed to win the World Series this year. What's up with that? Right? Some of you were praying. Chris was praying. But here's the thing. We forget how many times God provided for us, how many things God blessed us with. And so when you write those things down, it will come back to your remembrance. So as we close this morning, I want to encourage you once again that developing your prayer life is the key to growing spiritually. I want to encourage you, listen to me, take ownership of your own soul. Did you hear me this morning? Come on, we're coming into this new year, and I'm thankful for all of those resolutions, all of those other things that you plan to do that are good. That's wonderful. Lose some weight. That's good. Get ready for the spring, you know, get ready for your bathing suit this year. That's wonderful. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what you need to put at the top of your list. Write this down in your resolutions. Take ownership of my own soul. And prayer is how you do that. I want you to hear me this morning. If the essence of your Christian life is simply surviving from Sunday to Sunday and having an inspirational, motivational moment with God on Sunday mornings, that's wonderful. It's a great place to start. And some of you are just getting back into that rhythm, and we're so thankful you're here. We want to encourage that. That is 101. But for those of you who are saying, I really hunger to know God in a greater way, Pastor, deep down in my soul, I want to know God. Pastor, deep down in my spirit, I want to be closer to God. I really want to be that husband or wife that I know I can be. I really want to be that parent. I really want to be that person at work in my career that I know God's calling me to be. I really want to be that blessing for my friends and my family. I really want to get rid of these habits that have defined me, these hang-ups and addictions. God, Pastor, deep down inside of my soul, I want to know God in a greater way. I want to know that God is real. I want to know that God is with me. I want to know what it's like to have God in my life. And I want to tell you that a daily habit of prayer is the place to start. If you don't develop that habit, you will never have that sense. Your spiritual growth will be stunted. It's doable, folks. And I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit wants to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to pray. I believe he will come alongside you. The scripture says, as we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. God will begin to meet you. Just take these three simple principles this week. We're going to talk about three more next week. Come back for the rest of it. But if you will begin to open your prayer time in worship and to come into agreement with God's will for your life and to give thanks, you've got three things you can pray for. And listen, this becomes a pattern for your prayer. I've been praying through the Lord's Prayer for years. You don't graduate from the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful pattern to pray through. I don't have to start from scratch. I just begin thinking through the principles of the Lord's Prayer. And you're going to begin to see God work in your life. You're going to begin to have a sense that you have a closer relationship with God. You won't have to worry about, am I praying according to God's will? Am I doing this right? You can begin to pray with confidence that God is hearing you, that God is with you, that He's drawing closer to you. As you begin to worship, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit come into your situation. As you come into agreement with God's will, you can trust God. I put it in your hands. I trusted you. I prayed according to your word. Now I can just trust you and put it in your hands. And then you can begin to give thanks. God, I see your hand upon my life. I see your blessings. I'm going to focus on your blessings, God. And you're going to become a person of gratitude. So why don't you stand with me this morning? Why don't we put this into practice? And we're going to pray. We're going to sing another song in just a moment. But let's pray together. And here's the two things I want to encourage you to pray with me. Number one, I think like the disciples, our simple prayer today, our request to Jesus is, Lord, teach us to pray. How many of you want to pray that prayer? My hand's up. Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe you've been a person who's been in church for years and you have a prayer life, but you can still say, God, teach me to pray at a deeper level. I want to be closer to you. Maybe this is brand new to you. You would sincerely say, God, I need your help. I'm asking you to teach me to pray. And then I want us to pray through those three things this morning: worship, agreement, and gratitude. Thanksgiving this morning. Can you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you once again that you are our Heavenly Father. That you're a good Father. You're a loving Heavenly Father. God, help us to believe that you're for us, not against us. That you are our Father in heaven. And God, we thank you that you rule and you reign over our situation. You're sovereign. You're in control. God, the things that weigh on our hearts, you care about them. And God, you're not shaken by the things that are shaking our lives. Thank you that you can do anything. And Jesus, we're asking you today to teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to come alongside of us in doing us what we cannot do. God, as we draw closer to you, we're asking you to draw closer to us. So Holy Spirit, come and pray alongside of us. Make us people of prayer. God, I pray that you would make Redemption a church of prayer, a praying church. Make us a praying community, God. And so Lord, we worship you today. We come into agreement with your will. God, we say your kingdom come. God, may your kingdom come in our lives. May your kingdom come in our home. May your kingdom come in our families. May your kingdom come in our sphere of influence. May your kingdom come in our marriages, over our children, in our workplace, in our community. God, may your kingdom come in Westchester as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in our lives. And God, we thank you for it. God, we thank you for all that you've done. And we anticipate good things. God, we're believing for answers to prayer. God, we're believing for testimonies. God, we're believing for reports of your blessings being poured out in people's lives, for breakthroughs in this church. We thank you for it. We say, let it be done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.